The scripture is not what's on the card. It's Ezekiel 34. So if you'll turn with me in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 34, we'll be reading verses 1 through 15. I sense a moving of God's Spirit in a special way right now, tonight. Just confirmation of things that I sense. I am reading a book at the present, Hitler's Cross. It answers the question, where was the church during the hard pre-war years of Nazism? This scripture tonight kind of fits the mold. Brother Paul's remarks in the opening kind of fit the mold. Keep that in mind as we share this scripture and as Brother Marlon shares God's message tonight. Basically what happened, the church sold out. Adolf Hitler deceived the church in Germany. The swastika is a broken cross. There wasn't room for two crosses in the church in Germany in those days. And many of those people knew what was going on and wouldn't take the stand. And this one final thing I'll share with you yet. When those camps were liberated, and a lot of those towns close to those camps denied that they knew what was going on, the Allied commanders wouldn't buy it. I have watched documentaries where they took the populace in those communities and they made them go into them camps and clean it up. It was awful. I share that with you. I don't know what God has in store for us, but brothers and sisters, history is repeating itself before our very eyes. Ezekiel 34, verses 1 through 15. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves, and should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and cruelty ye have ruled them out. That verse pretty much explains the work of a shepherd. Verse 5, and they were scattered because there is no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves, and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. For thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people, and gather them from the countries, and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie down, there shall they lay in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down. Thus saith the Lord. Reverently let us kneel for prayer.
I want to say good evening to you. I crave an interest in your prayers. So I come here, Brother Paul asked me how I'm feeling, and I feel one of those feelings of I'm not ready. But I trust that the promise that we explained Sunday morning that we held on to would be real again tonight. That the few thoughts, the sticks that we lay down, that God would use for His glory. The message isn't anything profound, but it's reassuring in its truth. And as we sang that song, Living by Faith, tonight we're going to consider perhaps why, not perhaps, but why, some of the reasons why Christ refers to us as sheep. And I chose the portion that Brother Jim read for the last verse that he read. It says, I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord. Sheep live by faith. Faith in their master, faith in their shepherd. And tonight we want to consider our shepherd and the similarities we have between the sheep, the animal that God has created, and we as His people, as His sheep. It was probably, I'm not sure, it was quite a while ago. I don't typically work through the night, but I wasn't able to go to sleep, and I had to leave early, so I just said, I'm going to get up and go. And it was around midnight, I was traveling down around D.C., and I don't even remember the statement I heard, but it was a statement about sheep and people. And it caused my mind to begin to wonder, what is the reason that Christ refers to His people as sheep? What are the similarities? And so I began, I did some study, and I haven't finished it, but I want to share with you tonight some things I learned. And we're going to look at the first verse or two of the 23rd Psalm as we consider tonight what are the similarities between sheep and people. I don't believe God just chose to call us sheep just because that's what He saw out in the pasture. But He called us sheep for a reason. And the similarities are, to me, quite interesting. We know we read in Scripture, there's verses, Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. For ye were sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of your souls. There's places in Scripture that God refers to Him, or Christ refers to Himself as the good shepherd. In John 10, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and I am known of mine. 1 Peter 5:4, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. And then in Hebrews 13:20, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. A direct connection between sheep and the shepherd. The condition of sheep is a testimony, a true testimony of the quality of the shepherd. It is said that sheep require more attention than any other livestock. They require meticulous care. What about us? We as people require much care. We are so needy. We're not very good at avoiding danger. We'll follow our fellow brother or our fellow citizen right into danger at times. Things that are harmful for us. If we are left to ourselves, we will destroy ourselves. Some of the thoughts I have come from the author of Philip Keller, as he was a shepherd himself for quite a number of years. And some of the similarities that he took notice to, as he was a shepherd, not like we know today, but he spent time in the pasture watching over his sheep. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And as we go through this tonight, I want us to consider, how are we? Is he our shepherd? Do we want? John 10, I'm going to read the first 5 verses. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter, to him the gatekeeper openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. I challenged us earlier this week, do we know the voice? Do we recognize the voice of our God? Do we recognize the voice of our shepherd? Consider this, picture this with me in your minds. A writer, J.L. Porter, wrote in a book, The Giant Cities of Bashan. He tells about sitting on a hillside, observing the shepherd and their sheep as they begin their day over in the eastern countries. He says thousands of sheep and goats were there, grouped in a dense, confused mass. The shepherd stood together until all the animals were out. From what I understand, numerous shepherds would bring their animals together and put them all in one big fold for the night. In the morning, they would bring them all out of the fold. Then, as all the animals were out, each shepherd, taking a different path and uttering, as he advanced, a shrill, peculiar call, the sheep heard him. At first, the animals swayed and moved as if shaken by some internal convulsion. Then points struck out in the direction taken by the shepherds. These became longer and longer until the confused masses were resolved into long, living streams flowing after their leaders. When we're in the masses, do we recognize that call of our master? Or are we swayed by the mass and taken in the wrong direction? Or maybe there is no call that we recognize. When we look at our society, when we look at our neighbors, our communities, it seems like there's nothing but confusion. The Lord is our shepherd. In John 10:27, he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Do we follow? Does he know us? Do we know him? Do we follow him? The lot in life, in the life of a sheep, depends on the type of the man that owns it. Some shepherds were gentle, kind, intelligent, brave, selfless in their devotion to their flock. Under some men, sheep will struggle and starve and suffer endless hardships. Others will flourish and thrive contentedly. You and I have been bought, if we are believers, by a great shepherd. The shepherd, our shepherd, is responsible for the creation of all things, both natural and supernatural. He is abundantly able to do exceedingly more than we can ask or think. He purchased us. He gave his life for us. He will provide for us. He is watching out for our souls. And the psalmist David, as he wrote this, he understood what a shepherd did. He understood the life of a shepherd. And he said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." Christ has chosen to make us his special object of affection and attention. We are in the hands of a great shepherd. Sheep are unable to provide for themselves. If they're left alone, their wool will become matted, dirty. They will become sick and possibly end up in a dying condition. What a picture of humanity. Left to itself, becomes woolly and matted, sickly, in a dying condition. The psalmist David said, "I shall not want." And I want to take a little time to consider, what does that mean, "I shall not want"? As I said, David understood the dependency of sheep upon a shepherd. He understood that the shepherd was responsible to find or provide food for the sheep. The shepherd had to look for poisonous weeds and grass. He had to look for good pasture. He had to protect them from predators. David experienced this. He protected his sheep, as we all know, from some predators. And David said, "The Lord's his shepherd, he shall not want." A sheep that does not want is one that has been provided for, that has all it needs. The thought of not wanting carries with it the idea of not lacking, being utterly content, not craving anything, not desiring anything more than what we've been given. Proverbs 13:25 says, "The righteous eateth to the satisfying of his soul, but the belly of the wicked shall want." The belly of the wicked shall never be satisfied, always wanting more, always seeking something else. "O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him." Is that our testimony tonight? No want. Totally content in our Savior. "The young lions do lack and suffer, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." This isn't referring to physical needs or material needs, because we realize that believers suffer in this world. They suffer physically. They suffer harm. But David's referring to spiritual contentment, satisfaction. And when we are satisfied in our Savior, we shall not want. Philip Keller tells an account when he had a neighboring sheepman on the farm next to him. He tells how this man had no concern for the condition of his sheep. His land was neglected. He gave little or no time to his flock, letting them find food as best they could, both summer and winter. They fell prey to dogs, cougars, and rustlers. Every year, these poor creatures were forced to gnaw away at the bare brown fields, impoverished pastures. Every winter, there was a shortage of nourishing hay and wholesome grain to feed the hungry ewes. Shelter to safeguard and protect the suffering sheep from the storms and blizzards was scanty and inadequate. They had only polluted muddy water to drink. There had been a lack of salt and other trace minerals to offset their sickly pastures. In their thin, weak, and diseased condition, these poor sheep were a pathetic sight. To all their distress, their heartless, selfless, selfish owner seemed utterly calloused and indifferent. He simply did not care. What if the sheep did want green grass, fresh water, shade, safety, or shelter from the storms? What if they did want relief from wounds, bruises, diseases, and parasites? He ignored their need. He couldn't care less. Why should he? They were just sheep, fit for the slaughterhouse. What a picture of the taskmaster Satan, as he does not care about those that are lost. Philip said he can still see those sheep huddled together, looking wistfully through the wires at the rich pasture on the other side. Those of us that have been bought by the Savior's blood, those of us that have accepted that, we have a rich, green, lush pasture. The Lord God has given us all we need, more than we can imagine, more than we could ever want. We shall not want. But those that are not under the blood of Christ are like those sick sheep looking through the wire, always wanting something they can't have, so to speak. Imagine your, or think about your neighbors and your communities, the world we live in bondage, longing, looking for something to fill that God vacancy in their life. Looking for something they can't get. It is available, but they don't know how to get it. Their master is not allowing them. He's not caring for them. He's not providing their needs. They're poor, shriveled, sick, hungry, thirsty. And then I think of we as believers, as we've been given so much, more than we need, more than we can ask for. And I think often, even of my own life, I'm not all that quick to share the news, the blessings that I've been given. I have so much. Contentment needs to be our mark of distinction of the man or woman that has put his trust and his rest in his shepherd. Living by faith, resting contentedly in what the Master has designed and chosen for us. As we talked about earlier this week, being submitted and surrendered to the Master. That's a picture of sheep with a shepherd. They're submitted. That picture that we tried to envision of those sheep that come out of that sheepfold, and as they left to follow their shepherd, they were following him. They listened for his call, and when he called, they responded and they followed. Many times we think we have a better idea. We want to go our own way. We don't want to be submitted to his leading. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. Perhaps we're not submitted. Perhaps we don't follow as we should tonight. Maybe we're carnal Christians. Maybe we haven't died to the flesh. We want to be a sheep of the great shepherd, but we're not willing to give up some of the things that we're holding on to. Philip Keller remarked about a sheep that he had, Mrs. Gadabout, he called her, never content with things as they were. She would often find a way through or around the fence and end up feeding on brown, burned up pasture. He provided her with lush, green pasture, and many times she went around, found a hole, found a way around to go eat on dry, brown, burned up grass. So often we see that happen. The God of heaven has given us so much. If we would just surrender and submit in Him. But we want to have the best of both worlds, and we end up eating dry, burned up pasture. Eventually, Philip Keller took that sheep out and he killed her. Even though she was a beautiful animal, he killed her. He got rid of her because of the influence that she had on the rest of the flock. Because sheep tend to follow one another. And he had to get rid of her. Is there anyone here tonight that is discontent? That is looking for something else? Not finding contentment in what God has given us? Or maybe we're not in the fold of God and we're trying to find something to fill that void. David said, "The Lord's my shepherd. I shall not want. He provides me with all I need. I shall not want." And then he says, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." And this was quite interesting to me. There's four things that he pointed out a sheep needs to have to lie down. She needs to be free of fear, tension, irritation, and hunger. Free of fear, tension, irritation, and hunger. Sheep have no defense. Isn't it interesting that God called us sheep? He also called us to turn our other cheek. He called us to stick together, to gather together as believers. As I thought about that, I'm not quite sure how those that believe we should go to war can reconcile that. We read in Isaiah 53:7, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted," speaking of our Lord, "yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth." Sheep are very timid animals. It's said that a jackrabbit suddenly bounding from behind a bush can scare or frighten an entire flock. The Lord is our shepherd. When we trust in Him, we should not fear. Hebrews 13:6 says, "So that we may boldly say, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me.'" We should not become alarmed and run in fear and confusion because we have the presence of the Master. God is here. He is in control. The Good Shepherd will fight our battle. David fought the battle as he was the shepherd. He killed the animals that were coming to attack his sheep. We need to trust in our God. Free from tension. They needed to be free from fear. They needed to be free from tension. From what I understand, sheep have a budding order, like chickens have a pecking order. He writes that many times it is the older, arrogant, cunning, domineering ewe that will be the boss of the sheep. She will maintain her position of prestige by budding and driving other ewes and lambs away from the best grazing or favorite bedding areas. Succeeding her in precise order, the other sheep all establish and maintain their position in the flock by using the same tactics of budding and thrusting at those below and around them. Because of this rivalry, tension, and competition for status and self-assertion, there is a friction in the flock. The sheep cannot lie down and rest in contentment. They must often stand up in order to defend their rights and contest the challenge of an intruder. He says hundreds and hundreds of times he watched an old ewe walk up to a younger one which might have been feeding contentedly or resting quietly in some sheltered spot. She would arch her neck, tilt her head, dilate her eyes, and approach the other in a stiff-legged gait. If the other ewe did not immediately leap to her feet in self-defense, she would be butted unmercifully. Or if she did rise to accept the challenge, one or two strong thrusts would soon send her scurrying for safety. But he took notice that when the sheep recognized his presence, the budding stopped. And you know that's the way it needs to be for you and I. We need to recognize the presence of the Master, and we need to not be budding and trying to get ahead of the other person. We need to recognize that all of us are in the same place before a holy God. And it is only by the righteousness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we are anything. It is only through His merits that we are accepted. It's not our abilities. And these sheep even took notice to that. As their master, their shepherd, came into the presence, their attention was taken off of the other ones. They had their eyes on the master, on the shepherd. How are we with that? Are we worried about our brother and sister in a negative way? Or are our eyes on the master? They also needed to be free from irritants. Sheep are tormented by flies and parasites. They will not lie down. Only when they are free of these pests can they lie down. David recognized all this. And David said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He causes me to lie down." David was finding total, complete fulfillment and contentment in his Lord. Free from irritants, free from pests and parasites and bugs. The sheep could not handle that. The shepherd had to take care of that. And when we keep our Lord as our focus, we can be at peace and at rest. They also needed to be free from hunger. If a sheep was not contented in their stomach, they were always up, walking, eating, nibbling. And if they're always up, eating, walking, nibbling, and not getting much, they're going to get thin. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." A sheep lying down in the middle of a green pasture is a picture of total and complete contentment. Consider what our Lord has given us. Total, lush pastures. He's given us more than we could ever ask for in our salvation and in His mercy and in His grace, in His ability, in His love, in His power. All that we could ever need or want We can lie down in contentment and peace, but oftentimes we tend to forget that, and we get to be like Mrs. Gadabout, and we're looking for a hole in the fence, and we end up eating dry, burned up pasture. We are truly blessed and privileged to be bought by the Great Shepherd. It is only by the Great Shepherd that we can find relief from the irritants of this world. It is only by the Great Shepherd that we will find nourishment that is able to satisfy the inner hunger. If you don't have that inner contentment and that peace, He can give us that. He can give us that total and complete contentment that we can lie down and rest beside bountiful blessings. Psalms 34:9. O fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. Is that our testimony for each of you tonight? That we have no want? Or do we have an empty, vacant longing within us, searching? Are we satisfied? Are we content? Are we at rest? Can we lie down as the sheep? Have we allowed Him to be our shepherd? Have you allowed Him to supply your need? I trust that each of us will consider if we're content in the Lord, or if we have a vacancy, if we have a hunger, if we have a thirst. And if we do, we need to come to Him, because He said that if we eat His bread, we shall never hunger. We're going to extend the invitation tonight to anyone that may be hungering and thirsting, to anyone that maybe has been in the fold, but you keep going outside. You keep looking for a hole in the fence. You keep looking for what the world has to offer. It's going to bring you nothing but dry, burned up pasture. It's empty. There's nothing there other than a temporary pleasure. So we extend the invitation to anyone tonight that may feel the call of God to be called into His family and to accept Him as their Lord and Savior. What number will we sing?
729.
729 in the black hymnal.